Last week, Father gave this very powerful homily, in which he alluded to the idea that we've entered into a new era. And he quoted Pope Francis, and Pope Francis, he said this, he said, "We are not in an age of change, but we are in a change of the ages." You see, we've shifted, we've made this big, major shift in our culture. And he also quoted Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he said, that we are at the end of Christendom. You know, it's this notion that we are that our society is no longer based on Christian principles. That, you know, our economics, our politics, our social lives, all these things are no longer influenced by Jesus as much as they once were. You know, if you look at our situation, you can see that what's going on. So you can see how, as a people, we've turned away from God. And there are many, many people who don't have Jesus a part of their life, hardly at all, let alone at the center of their life. We're in a new era. Now, all that might be true, that we're in a new era and that's how it is, that there is still a truth out there that we have to remember. And that is that although we as a people have turned away from God, but the truth is that God hasn't turned away from us. You know, that even though there are so many people out there who don't have Jesus in their lives, that the reality is that Jesus still wants to be part of their life. Even though they don't know it, they need Jesus. Even though we don't know it, the reality is that we all need Jesus. You're not sure about this? Just look around. Look around and look at our world. Look and see how the further we've moved away from Christendom, the further we've moved away from Christian values, the more we see so much anger and hate and violence out in this world. There's so many people hurting. You know, even though we might not know it, we all need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Even in this new era, we all need Jesus. Now you can see God then. You can imagine God looking down on us, looking down on his people, and just seeing us turning away from him and walking away from him and seeing all of our hurt, all of our pain. And you can just imagine the sadness he must feel. But also, I can imagine him saying, you know what? All they need is me. They need to hear my message. They need to experience me. I can be a light in their darkness. I can wipe away all the tears from their eyes. I can bring joy to their world. They need me. They need to experience my love. Somebody needs to show them. I need to send somebody. Whom shall I send? You know, in the reading study, we have two different examples of God sending people out into the world. In the first reading, we have Isaiah, right? So in Isaiah, he's a prophet to the nation of Israel. And at this time, the nation of Israel, they're not in a good place, right? They've completely turned away from God. And God wants to send a messenger to them, and in this case, to deliver a not such a great message. But nonetheless, he's calling somebody to go out and send a message to his people. So here we have Isaiah in the reading today. He's experiencing this vision. And in this reading, he's explaining to us this vision. In this vision, he finds himself in the presence of God. And right away, he recognizes that, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not fit for this situation. And he says, woe is me. I am doomed. I am doomed, for I'm a man of unclean lips, amongst a people of unclean lips. And yet, I have seen the King. I have seen God. But I have unclean lips. So then he says, the seraphim, an angel comes, he brings this ember over to him, and he places the ember on his lips. And in doing so, he purifies his lips. He purifies Isaiah. And then Isaiah hears the Lord say, "Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah replies, "Here I am. Send me." In the gospel, it's Jesus with his disciples. It's one of the calls of the disciples. And so here he is on the boat with Simon Peter. And he's doing his teaching, doing his thing. And then he says, he's done teaching. He says, "All right, let's go out into the deep and cast your nets." And Peter, he's like, "Oh man, been there, done that. It's not working, Lord. We've been doing this all night long. We're not catching anything. But you know what? If you say so, we'll do it." He's doubting Jesus, but trusting, and goes out. And they cast the net out, and they start pulling in, and they're pulling in all this miracle fish. All these fish are coming in, so much so they call the other boat over to come helping all these fish in. And then the boats, there's like two boats sinking. You can imagine all of these fish. And the disciples, they see this, and they recognize that this is a big deal. This is a miracle. We are in the presence of God. And Peter, recognizing it, he falls at Jesus' feet and says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." He sees it. He's like, "I'm not worthy. I'm not fit for this situation." And Jesus, he's like, "Gotta get up, man. We got work to do." Right? That's kind of not his exact words, but essentially he's like, says, "You know what? Do not be afraid, because from now on, you're going to be catching men. You've been called." And from that moment, they get up and they leave the boats behind and they follow Jesus. They really don't know, you know, they don't really know their mission, though, do they? They don't really know their mission, but nonetheless, they follow Jesus. They take their steps towards Jesus and follow wherever he leads. There's a common thread between these two readings, and in both cases, we have God calling somebody out to go out into the world, and in both cases, the people he's calling feel unworthy, that they're not good enough, they're not worthy enough, they're not holy enough, they're not worthy. Which leads me to the next quote. I just love this quote. It says, "God does not call the equipped, he equips the called." So God doesn't just call people who are perfect. He doesn't just call people who have it all together, who have all the tools and all everything we need for that call. But he calls regular people like me and you, like fishermen and tax collectors. He calls those people and he equips them with whatever they need for their calling. So here we are, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, and we're in a similar situation. In fact, we, you know, this book that Father was referencing last week, that some of this has come out of, is that they recognize that as we've entered into this new era, that we're actually closer to the time of the apostles as far as what it was like then, for what the world needed for God and the evangelization. And the reality is we're just like the apostles. Their world needed Jesus. Our world needs Jesus. So here we are, and God looks out and he says, "My people need me. Whom shall I send?" Do you think maybe he might be calling us? Is there any possibility at all that he might be calling you? So back in 2008, 2009, give or take, I was invited to go to a Christian music concert. It was Matt Maher. If you don't know who Matt Maher is, he actually ended up being pretty big in the Christian music industry. But at this time, 2008, it was before he was big. So it didn't happen like at the Target Center or nothing like that. It was just at a church in the metro area. So it was some people from this parish, you know, some friends of ours that invited us to go to this concert. Several people from the parish went. And the thing is, at that time, I was barely Catholic. Right? I came into the church in 2006. And if you know my story, you know that even though I came into the church, I still wasn't really all bought into all the Catholic teachings. So at this time, I was barely Catholic. And I wasn't into Christian music at the time either. But I went anyways, because we were invited. So I went to this concert. And one thing that struck me was just, first of all, just how powerful it was to be singing and worshiping and praising God in this way. It was a very, very powerful moment or experience. But there was one particular moment of that night that really stands out to me. It was when he started singing the refrain from "Here I Am, Lord." You probably know the song. We sing it occasionally here at Mass. It's an old hymn. And we're at this concert. You know how concerts are, right? Everyone's like singing and having a good time, singing along with the artist and stuff. And it was no different here. People were singing along. But this song, when he started singing this song, I found myself not just singing along, not just singing the song, but found myself praying the song. And in the church full of people, it was like it was just me and God there. And it was at that moment. You know, and I've heard this song so many times before. But for some reason, that night and that moment, it really stood out to me and it struck me in such a way. And the lyrics, if you don't know the lyrics, it goes like this. So the verse ends in, "Whom shall I send?" But then the refrain goes, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I've heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I'll hold your people in my heart." For some reason, that night, that really stood out. That really struck me in such a way that it was a powerful moment. I don't know what happened, but that night, I knew that I was called to something more. I knew that I was called to something bigger, that there was something in store for me. Jesus wanted me for something. I didn't know what it was. I left that night feeling this call, feeling there's something, but I didn't know what. So I guess at that time, I just started taking steps towards Jesus. I didn't know what the call was, but just started taking steps towards Jesus. And for me, what that looked like is I started volunteering for Life Team. I started getting more involved in the parish, started getting more involved in men's group. And I just took these steps towards Jesus and followed where he'd lead me. Now, here I am all these years later, and I can look back. I can look back to that moment, and now I can recognize that that moment was the beginning of my call to be a deacon. And I didn't know it at the time. I was barely Catholic. I didn't even know what a deacon was. But it was that moment when he started the call. He started working on me, working in me. Because the reality was, I wasn't good enough. I wasn't holy enough. I wasn't religious enough. I wasn't Catholic enough. And the fact is, I'm still not. I'm still not enough of any of that. But God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And I have never, never felt in need when it comes to fulfilling this call. God has always provided. So what's God calling you to? What's he calling you to? Because the reality is, he's calling everybody. He's calling all of us here to something. He's calling you through these readings. He's calling you through these words. He's reaching into your heart, and he's looking to you and saying, "My people need me. Whom shall I send?" He's calling all of us to something. He might not be calling you to be a deacon or a priest or a sister, but he's calling you to something. You can look out into this world and he can say, "You know what? You might be being called to be a light in somebody's darkness. You might be being called to love that person who doesn't normally experience love. Maybe being called to be Jesus to that person who doesn't know Jesus." The truth is, we're all being called. And maybe you don't know what that call is at this time. You don't know what God is calling you to. I invite you today to just start taking steps towards Jesus. Follow where he'll lead you. Today, God is present among us. And he looks out into this world and he says, the world, they need me. They need my love. And he's looking at all of you. He says, whom shall I send? So the question is, are you willing to answer in this way? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I hear you calling me. I hear you calling. I'll go, Lord, but only if you lead me. Here I am, Lord. Send me.